And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, it is August the 2nd. And the Woke Olympics is moving toward result. Nobody seems to understand that the people who buy the products of all the companies that advertise using the athletes don't want woke. They want to watch something they can enjoy. And to force them to look at protests and putting your hands over your head and make an X or turning your back on the flag of the country. A lot of people have trouble with that. But these athletes who work themselves into a lather to get there and then throw it all away. For what? No one has ever explained to me what turning your back on the flag does. Or crossing your hands above your head and making an X. Oh, that shows my solidarity with the homeless. Then take your money and give it to them. Don't force the rest of us to look at what silliness you want to do. Well, I do want to give another shout out to Rich Forrest, who's still in the hospital. He was, I've known him for 40 years. And as I said, today is August 12th, 224th day of the year. 441 days remain till the year's over with. It's the peak of the Perseid meteor shower, also known as the Glorious 12th in the U.S. U.K. Makes the traditional start of the grouse shooting season. So if you got any old crotchety relatives you might call grouse, open season. Okay, in 1099, the First Crusade, Battle of Ascalon. Crusaders under the command of Godfrey Bouillon defeat Fatimid forces led by Al-Afdal Shahanshah. This is considered the last engagement of the First Crusade, and this was literally the most successful crusade. The Crusaders had their hands headed to them and the others. 1121, Battle of Diggory. The Georgian army under King David IV wins a decisive victory over the famous soldier commander Ighazi. 1164, Battle of Harim. Nur al-Din Zangi defeats the Crusader armies of the County of Tripoli and the Principality of Antioch. There were a number of Crusader kingdoms set up, one of which was Jerusalem. In fact, there is still a hereditary title, King of Jerusalem, in the heraldry of Europe. In fact, if my family hadn't left, I might have a shot at having that title, but what the heck. 1323, the Treaty of Nöteborg between Sweden and Novgorod Republic is signed, regulating the border between the two countries for the very first time. 1492, Christopher Columbus arrives in the Canary Islands on his first voyage to the New World. And nowhere in any of his records from that voyage does he make mention of having found any canaries. 1499, first engagement of the Battle of Sonchio between Venetian and Ottoman fleets. At one point in time, Venice was quite the powerhouse. 1624, Charles de La Vieuville is arrested and replaced by Cardinal Richelieu, the French king's chief advisor. Richelieu became the power in France at that time. 1676, praying Indian John Alderman shoots and kills Metacomet, the Wampanoag war chief, ends King Philip's war. 1687, Battle of Mohawks. Charles de Lorraine defeats the Ottoman Empire. 1765, Treaty of Allahabad is signed. This treaty marks the political and constitutional involvement and the beginnings of company rule in India. 1793, the Rhone and the Loire departments are created when the former Department of Rhone et Loire is split into two different entities. 1806, Santiago de Liniers, first Count of Buenos Aires, retakes the city of Buenos Aires, Argentina, after the first British invasion. 1831, French intervention forces William I of the Netherlands to abandon his attempt to suppress the Belgian Revolution. 1851, Isaac Singer is granted a patent for a sewing machine. He also left a large treasure hidden on Padre Island, if I'm not mistaken. 1865, Joseph Lister, British surgeon and scientist, performs the first antiseptic surgery. 1883, the last quagga dies in the Natura Artis Magister, a zoo in Amsterdam, Netherlands. The quagga was at one point, it was a subspecies of the plain zebra, and it was endemic to South Africa until it was hunted to extinction in the late 19th century by the European colonist. Long thought to be a distinct species, but genetic studies now support the idea it was a subspecies of the plain zebra. And as I say, the last one died in 1883, so it's said to be extinct now. 1898, Hawaiian flag is lowered from the Lani Palace in an elaborate annexation ceremony replaced with the flag of the U.S. to signify the transfer of sovereignty from the Republic of Hawaii to the United States. 1914, World War I. The United Kingdom declares war on Austria-Hungary, and all the countries in the British Empire follow suit. Also in 1914, World War I, the Battle of Helen, also known as the Battle of the Silver Helmets, took place. It was a clash between larger Belgian and German cavalry formations at Helen in Belgium. There were so many, it was called the Battle of the Silver Helmets because so many cavalry helmets were left behind on the battlefield by the German cuirassiers. The name of the battle alludes to the Battle of the Golden Spurs, which took place in 1302 when 500 pairs of golden spurs were recovered from the battlefield. This was a small market town and a convenient river crossing of the Getty and was situated in the principal axis of advance of the Imperial German Army. It was a Belgian tactical victory, but it didn't delay the German invasion of Belgium. I knew some people who made most of their money going to battlefields and picking up relics such as that. 1944, Waffen-SS troops massacred 560 people in St. Anna of Stazama. 1944, Nazi German troops in the week-long Walla massacre, during which time at least 40,000 people were killed indiscriminately. There were also a number of mass executions that took place. And the Walla massacre, when you break it down, was a systemic killing of between 70,000 and 90,000 Poles in the Wola suburb of Poland's capital city by the German Wehrmacht and those referred to as Axis collaborators in the Azerbaijani Legion, and as well as the mostly Russian Rona forces. Hitler ordered this. He wanted to kill anything that moved to stop the Warsaw Uprising soon after it began. And it was not ultimately successful, but it did kill a large number of people. 1944, Alain Kahn is liberated by General Philippe Leclerc de Hautecoquille, the first city in France to be liberated from the Nazis by French forces. 1948, Babrah massacre. About 600 unarmed members of the Kudai Kidmagar movement are shot dead on the orders of the chief minister of the Northwest Frontier Province, Abdul Qayyum Khan Kashmiri, on Babra ground in the Hasnagar region of Charsada district in the Northwest Frontier Province in Pakistan. 1650 Korean War, the Bloody Gulch Massacre. 75 American POWs are massacred by North Korean Army forces. After a very successful attack on two undefended U.S. artillery battalions that killed or injured hundreds, members of North Korea's Korea's People's Army's 13th Regiment murdered 75 captured U.S. Army prisoners of war. This is during one of the smaller engagements of the Battle of the Pusan Perimeter. The murdered soldiers from the 555th Field Artillery Battalion of the 24th Infantry Division and the 90th Field Artillery Battalion of the U.S. 25th Infantry Division. And this took place on August 12, 1950. The invasion of the South by the North was on June 25th, 1950. Now, the 24th Infantry Division was the first unit sent to Korea. They were supposed to take the initial shock of the Korean advances, delaying the units to buy time for more American troops to arrive as reinforcements. Unfortunately, they were just literally overwhelmed. 1952, the night of the murdered poets. 13 prominent Jewish intellectuals are murdered in Moscow. 1953, the first thermonuclear bomb test. The Soviet atomic bomb project continues with the detonation of RDS-6S, or it was also called JO-4. Using a layered scheme. 1953, a 7.2 Ionian earthquake shakes the southern Ionian Islands with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 10, which is considered extreme. Between 445 and 800 people are killed. 1960, Echo 1A, NASA's first successful communication satellite is launched. 1964, South Africa is banned from the Olympic Games due to the country's racist policies. You know, if we'd spent less time paying attention to what people think and more time paying attention to what we would like them to think, you know, bring them to the Olympics, let them see how the others live. They sent a defector from Belarus who didn't want to go home. So it would seem that that works. It just takes time. Alrighty. 1969, violence erupts after the apprentice boys of Derry march in Derry, Northern Ireland. It results in a 3-day communal riot known as the Battle of the Bogside. 1969, the Apprentice Boys of Derry's a Protestant fraternal society, has worldwide membership of in excess of 10,000. Founded in 1814, based in the city of Derry in Northern Ireland. Their branches in Ulster, elsewhere in Ireland, Scotland, England, Australia, Toronto. Their aim is to commemorate the 1689 siege of Derry when Catholic James II of England in Ireland and Edward VII of Scotland laid siege to the walled city. At that point in time, it was a Protestant stronghold. So the Apprentice Boys parades once a year. And regularly, it led to violent opposition from the city's Irish national majority. But a more conciliatory tone has been taken of late. 2014, shutting of the gates parade was described as the biggest in years and was violence-free. So there's hope even in Ireland. Alrighty. 1976, between 1,000 and 3,500 Palestinians are killed in the Tell al-Zatar massacre, one of the bloodiest events of the Lebanese Civil War. 1977, the first free flight of the Space Shuttle Enterprise. Also in 77, the Sri Lanka riots, targeting the minority Sri Lankan Tamils, begins less than a month after the United National Party came to power. Over 300 Tamils were killed. In 1981, the IBM personal computer is released. And they said it would never last. 1985, Japan Airlines Flight 123 crashes into Osutaka Ridge in Gunma Prefecture in Japan, kills 520. It became the worst single-plane air disaster in history up to that time. 1990, Sue, the largest, most complete Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton found to date, discovered by Sue Hendrickson in South Dakota. 1992, Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. announced completion of negotiations for the North American Free Trade Agreement, also known as Shaft the American Farmer. 1994, Major League Baseball players go on strike, forcing the cancellation in the 1994 World Series. I remember that. They were even down to watching high school baseball on TV. They had to have their baseball fix. 2000, the Russian Navy submarine Kursk explodes and sinks in the Barents Sea during a military exercise. Her entire 118-man crew were killed. 2015, at least two massive explosions killed 173 and injured nearly 800 more in Tianjin, China. 2016, the Syrian Civil War. The Syrian Democratic Forces captured the city of Manbij from the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, ISIS. 2018, 39 civilians, including a dozen children, are killed in an explosion at a weapons depot in a rebel-held city in northwest Syria. A lot of births and deaths on this date in history. Holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day, Euplius, Eusebius of Milan, Herculanus of Brescia, Pope Innocent XI, he was not innocent by a long shot. Jeanne Berthe, Jane Frances de Chantel, Rear Doc, Pocarius II, Glorious XII in the United Kingdom, H.M. the Queen Mother's Birthday and National Mother's Day in Thailand, International Youth Day in the United Nations, Russian Air Force Day in Russia. Russian Railway Troops Day in Russia. Sea Organization Day in Scientology. World Elephant Day internationally. Well, there have been, I'm sure, far more things to be looked at. Let's see what else we got. On AD 3, Venus and Jupiter appeared in conjunction with the Star of Bethlehem. Or at least that's what they state the Star of Bethlehem was, Venus and Jupiter in conjunction. In 1099, Battle of Ascalon, Godfrey of Broth, leading the Crusaders, beats the Egyptian Fatimid army. 1121, Battle of Dagori, the Georgian army under King David the Builder, was a decisive victory over the famous soldier commander, Eglazi. In 1332, the Battle of Diplin Moor. That was a Scottish dynastic battle. 1336, King Edward III of England ends wool export to Flanders. 1480, Battle of Otranto, Ottoman troops behead 800 Christians who refused to convert to Islam. 1530, Florence surrenders to Emperor Karel I. 1549, French troops conquer Ambleteuse and Pas-de-Calais. All English prisoners are killed. 1553, Pope Julius III ordered the confiscation and burning of all Jewish Talmud. That would be the same as us ordering the, them ordering the destruction of all the Bibles. 1588, Commander of the English fleet, Lord Howard of Effingham, calls off the chase of the Spanish Armada off the coast of Scotland. 1658, in what was then called New Amsterdam, which is called New York City, the first American police force was formed. And in 1665, the English fleet beat the Dutch fleet. And on that note, we're going to turn our attention back to our closest neighbor, the moon. I've been doing a lot of research about some of the findings of, about the moon. There have long been stories the moon is hollow. Now, we're not talking about the hollow earth theory. We're talking about the possibility that the moon is hollow. There are a number of reputable scientists who say the moon is actually an artificial construct put into orbit around our planet. That would explain why it's a perfect circular orbit, which is almost impossible in nature. Now, there's every possibility the moon could be hollow. Whether this is in the form of the entire center of our moon being empty or just massive caverns being found in the interior, it's impossible to say. If the caverns are big enough, they could result in that hollow ringing that's heard whenever anything crashes into the moon. Now, there's some interesting information that's been discovered that does support the idea that the moon is hollow. For example, the moon just isn't dense enough. The average mean density of the moon is 3.34 grams per cubic centimeter. And this is extremely low. It's only three times the density of water. Now, unlike the moon, the average mean density of the Earth works out to about 5.5 times that of water. So we have a higher density than the moon does. And this is true despite the fact the moon's supposed to be composed of material that came from Earth. So it should have the same density. Now, this inconsistency presents scientists with a major problem. How can the density be so disparate between Earth and the moon? And furthermore, there are very few ways the moon could be as large as it is and have such a low density. Dr. Harold Urey, a Nobel Prize winner, he was a chemist, made the observation that the disparity in densities between the two worlds, the much lower density of the moon compared to that of the Earth, might be accounted for by the moon having simply a cavity. In other words, a Nobel Prize winning chemist is saying the moon might be hollow. Then we have Dr. Farouk Elbaz, who was another noted scientist, went even further in his statements and said, there are many undiscovered caverns suspected to exist between the surface of the moon. Several experiments have been flown to the moon to see if there actually were such caverns. Well, unless they suspected hollow spaces within the moon, they wouldn't have gone to the time and expense to send those experiments to the moon. And if the moon has caverns of enough size to change its overall density, those caverns have to be truly massive. In other words, the moon has to be almost completely hollow. To date, the findings of these missions and experiments have been kept classified. And that seems to be the usual case whenever anything is found that doesn't support mainstream science. So you have to ask yourself why, in all this day of transparency and wokeness and all this other silliness, why in the general public be given access to things that are being paid for with taxpayer money? And of course, the usual response to these questions seems to be no answer at all. Sort of stonewalling mentality seems to be the order of the day when it comes to certain topics. Topics that NASA seems tempted to refuse to respond to in any realistic way. Even Dr. Gordon MacDonald, a NASA scientist himself, was quoted as saying, if the astronomical data are reduced, it's found the data require that the interior of the moon is more like a hollow than a homogeneous sphere. In other words, that's three scientists now, one a Nobel Prize winner, one senior NASA scientist saying the moon may well be hollow. Dr. Sean Solomon stated that lunar orbiter experiments vastly improved our knowledge of the moon's gravitational field, indicating the frightening possibility the moon might be hollow. Wernher von Braun, the rabid Nazi who became the father of American rocketry, stated in Popular Science in a 1970 article I remember reading, how Apollo 13 will probe the moon's interior. He talked in that article about the idea that when the main section of Apollo 12 was allowed to impact the moon, the astounding result of that crash was that the moon rang like a bell for nearly an hour. And he said this indicated some strange and unearthly underground structure. If something crashed into the earth, yes, it'd be earthquakes, but it wouldn't ring like a bell for an hour. And at the time he made these statements, Dr. Wernher von Braun, Hitler's favorite scientist, was the director of NASA, which I guess made him our favorite scientist too. So could this hollowness have come about naturally? Yeah, this doesn't seem very likely at all. As the host of the original PBS TV series Cosmos, Carl Sagan, once remarked in his treatise on intelligent life in the universe, a natural satellite cannot be a hollow object. So, by logic, if the moon is hollow, then no less an authority than Carl Sagan is saying it's not a natural satellite. His statement. Now, all these comments and statements by renowned astronomers and cosmologists must lend great credence to the idea of a hollow moon, especially given all the peculiarities of the moon we've talked about and how the satellites seems to have been hollowed out. I mean, that's the best explanation anybody come up with. Now, one should remember that not only do they theorize the idea of the moon having a hollow center to explain the disparity in density, but as Carl Sagan put it, it couldn't have come about that way through any natural means. So that only leaves one possibility. The moon was created by what we might refer to as unnatural means. And after all is said and done, is the moon we see in our night sky really just an empty shell? Does all this data supply the necessary information to confirm an idea like that? I mean, let's face it, if you go to the trouble on the planet, did you do it just to look at it at night? Or did you have a purpose? There's even more evidence we can look at to try to find the truth about the hollow moon theory. We might refer to them as different legs or different types of evidence from different sources. Now, while trying to supply legs, so to speak, to support a theory, different sources of evidence can act as powerful corroboration for the idea, giving it almost literally more legs to stand on than might originally have been thought. NASA, it seems, has a history of people who've stepped outside of the official bounds and made some extraordinary claims. These people include those who work directly for NASA in positions of trust, as well as people who worked as security clear contractors and even as astronauts, actively involved in NASA's space missions. Even top-level administrators from NASA have made interesting statements. And there's something else as well. There are hundreds and thousands of photographs of strange things that have been seen on the lunar surface, even some video, and even recorded vocal broadcast of astronauts regarding bizarre occurrences in space on lunar missions. But all this has been kept hush-hush. Don't want to disturb the public, don't you know? People have to keep their attention on the important things in life. Wokeness. So let's cut to the chase, so to speak, and ask ourselves, is there actual photographic evidence showing alien structures on the moon? Do we have anything that shows somebody other than us built something on the surface of the moon? Well, actually, the answer to that is yes. Over the decades, pictures of strange things on the moon have kept cropping up. Now, these photographs, you might be surprised to know, came from NASA itself. And now they deny that these are photographs of structures and use various explanations for them, such as outgassing, swamp gas. If one looks at the actual photos, the justifications just don't work. That's why they don't release the actual photographs. And we don't think they'd work for anybody who actually examines those photos. Now, we're not talking about photos from dubious sources or those that have been retouched or altered, but the original NASA photos that came from NASA. In one photograph, Lunar Orbiter Frame LO3-84-M is a somewhat overexposed picture. Now, photographed from about 250 miles away, the picture shows an object that's simply become known as the Shard. And, by anybody's definition, this is a rather curious photograph. A closer examination, using an enhancement, clearly shows that whatever this is, it's casting a shadow onto the lunar surface. And the shadow's in the right direction, given the origin of the lighting in the photos. This means it probably is actually something on the moon, not just an optical illusion. Illusions don't cast shadows. But what is the Shard? Well, nobody seems to know. Or if they do, they're not admitting it. Now, because of the poor quality of this photos and others similar to it, NASA puts the image down to being nothing more than an outgassing or an anomaly of some sort, or maybe even a flaw in the very expensive film they use. It couldn't be a structure on the moon because there aren't. It's like the explanation that science used to give for meteors. You say rocks fell from the sky? Well, that can't be true because there are no rocks in the sky. Now, the shadow being in line with the lighting in the photo rather than with the grain of the film makes the supposition it's a flaw in the film less likely. And an anomaly or a flaw in the film doesn't cast a shadow. Then, too, on a dead world with no atmosphere at all to speak of, where's this outgassing coming from? NASA's never explained that. Then we have an object situated just behind the Shard. If it's an actual structure, not just another abnormality, it stands about 7 feet high. Excuse me, 7 miles high. Now, as outlandish as such a thing would seem to be, and it's something we couldn't accomplish on Earth because of our heavier gravity making the engineering of that structure impossible, it would be possible on the surface of the moon, which has 1/6 the gravity. Now, such an engineering feat is feasible in the lighter gravity, and with enhancements, the tower shows an internal cellular structure. And the Shard, using similar enhancements, shows the same thing. Now, of course, because of the poor quality of the photos, or at least the poor quality of the photos released, NASA's concluded if this isn't just a flaw in the development of the picture, maybe it's another outgassing. Once again, we ask, outgassing of what? The moon is supposed to be a dead planet. with many scientists believing the core has to be solid. So there has to be some kind of tectonic or volcanic activity to have outgassed it. And even the scientists who believe it's hollow agree that there are no tectonic plates or volcanic activity. Moreover, if it isn't outgassing and just a flaw in the film, then it's incredible NASA would use such low-grade, poor-quality film for such an expensive mission. Again, NASA refuses to respond. And what's more, astronauts found no sign of geysers, vents, or anything that might cause or allow for such outgassing. Now, the astronauts were there. The ones saying, oh, it's outgassing, or I retire a scientist who don't get their little tootsies in the water or jeopardize their own rear ends. And neither do high-resolution photographs of the moon's surface that have been taken since that time show anything that remotely could be defined as a geyser event or anything that might cause or allow an outgassing. And furthermore, there aren't the usual side effects of such things, as in any case of blotchiness, speckling, or bespattered areas or regions that one would normally associate with an outgassing. Under enhancement, the objects look solid, as if weathered by meteor strikes over a long period of time. And unlike the photograph of the shard, other pictures taken years later by other missions also show the tower. This would make it seem all the more likely the shard was a layered object as well, and not just an anomaly or an outgassing. But you would never get one of NASA's acolytes to admit such a thing. Now, there's another strange feature that's referred to as Ukert Crater. Some weird things have been seen going on there. The little images from photographs of the crater taken by the Clementine mission, also known as Clementine, the Deep Space Program Science Experiment, DSPSE, show a very triangular-looking crater. It doesn't conform to the normal shapes of craters, which are normally circular. Now, one argument's been proposed. This is a result of a partial collapse of the wall encircling a crater. But no place else on the moon is there any sign of a collapsed crater wall that resembles this shape. Why is this also in the peculiar area noted for so many other anomalies? Furthermore, and very puzzling to everybody, is why high-resolution pictures of the crater are blacked out on all the various Clementine websites. As Ian Fleming said, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action. Now, this in itself is not just curious, it's intriguing as well. It's also suspicious. It's clear that somebody's hiding something by blacking out the photos. Do higher resolution versions of this photo show something too clearly that the government don't want the public to know about? Now let's turn to an Apollo mission. Excuse me. From the photograph AS-10-32-4822, which, as I say, came from an Apollo mission, one can see a very strange structure in the photograph, which is unenhanced by on the initial. One can see clearly sections composing the structure. This object is floating approximately 3 miles above the lunar surface. Photographic anomalies simply don't explain this away, nor does the concept of outgassing. So you have to ask yourself, what might this be? Well, it does look artificial. Also looks huge. Whatever it is, it doesn't seem to be man-made, not in the human sense of that term. Subsequent pictures show the castle, as it's referred to, at different angles, which adds to the idea this is a real three-dimensional object and not just some weird photographic illusion. Now, there's also another interesting factor about these photos. Whatever this thing is, the castle, it looks entirely artificial and hardly natural in either shape or design. There's no asteroid somehow magically floating a few miles above the surface of the moon. And if one looks closely at the shape and design of the castle, one notices marked similarities to the shard and the tower and its design. Now let's talk about a photograph referred to as frame AS-10-32-4822. This is an area of the moon that Richard C. Hoagland, the man who did all the research on the face on the moon, he referred to this as Los Angeles. And he did that because when you look at it, there's a resemblance to the L.A. Basin, just without the smog. And oddly, this is a region of the moon approximately the size of the Los Angeles Basin and area. Now, this particular image is another bizarre photo. And that's because there's more than just one oddity in this photograph. First, there's the matter of what's referred to as city blocks that seem so prevalent in this particular area. This is what can be only described as a rectangular shape laid out in a sort of grid pattern. Now, these rectangular shapes don't appear to be natural in any sense of the word. The situation of them, their layout on the lunar surface, bears a close resemblance to aerial photographs of ruins of ancient cities here on Earth, in that the shapes repeat and rather resemble city blocks as in being laid out in a repeating pattern in an artificial way. Then there's the matter of the paperclip that Mr. Hoagland has referred to. He thinks it may be some type of antenna, since the thing resembles some of those on Earth in its shape. And the paperclip appears to be at the top of a long supporting pole. Now, whatever this paperclip actually is, it doesn't appear to be a natural feature of the moon at all. And what's more, given the dimensions of the air and its relative size in the picture to those dimensions, the paperclip is very large. In fact, it's on the order of a tall building as in, say, New York City. Now, what we have here, if the moon is supposed to be a dead planet, and you find one artificial item on it, you can no longer say it's a dead planet. At one point in time, if not now, someone lived there. But what if you find dozens and dozens of artificial anomalies on the moon? Let's turn our attention to what's been referred to as the Crystal Palace. Again, Mr. Hoagland gave that particular nickname. This would appear to be a mammoth structure, being in the equivalent of a number of miles in circumference. Its appearance is very similar to that of glass or some other transparent material, and it's far more reflective than the surrounding area of the moon. Now, Mr. Hoagland used the term arcology to describe it, as well as the nickname the Crystal Palace. And it seems the Crystal Palace may have been a dome structure of some sort, a huge one, which is now seemingly in ruins. The theory is that perhaps meteor impacts over the ages have caused this ruined state, which would mean that it is very, very old in terms of how long it's been there. Now, if all these objects appear fuzzy, hazy, or questionably indistinct, there's yet one more oddity about this same region. If you look at the lower right-hand portion of the photograph of the Los Angeles Basin, strange grooves or lines show up on the lunar surface. Now, these progress in a straight line and then suddenly take a very sharp right-angle turn. This is not a natural consequence of erosion. First, erosion doesn't travel in straight lines and make right-angle 90-degree turns. And number two, if there's no water and there's no air on the moon, how can it be erosion? Then two, supporting the concept there's no erosion on the moon, without atmosphere or rain, which means allegedly no water at all, or anything else for that matter, how could there be erosion? There's no logic to that. So these lines or grooves certainly don't appear to be natural features. And if they're a result of some sort of liquid erosion, let's say the mysterious volcanoes, so to speak, you don't see straight lines or sharp right-hand turns in areas that have been overrun with lava. Liquids don't flow on such a pattern under most circumstances, unless there's artificial modification. So just what are these lines or grooves that show up very clearly? And then, long before humans walked on the moon, on July 29, 1953, to be exact, John J. O'Neill declared he'd observed what he called a bridge somewhere between around 12 miles in length spanning the Mare Crisium crater. And there were some photographs. Now, how did NASA react? It was an illusion. Couldn't call it an outgassing. So it was an illusion. He just thought it was there. But there's a problem with that. You see, another noted astronomer, Dr. H.P. Wilkins, corroborated that the bridge was actually there. Now, in more recent photographs taken by NASA, of course, the bridge appears to have vanished. But when it was still there, Wilkins had a very interesting statement to make. It looks artificial. It's almost incredible such a thing could have been formed in the first instance. Or if it was formed, could have lasted during the ages in which the moon has been in existence. So rather than investigating and trying to determine the truth of everything, NASA wrote it off as an illusion. You just think you see it. We're much smarter than you. We don't see it. Well, the lunar bridge, as it was called, is a particularly odd item. Now, by 1953, telescopes were very good. And additionally, there were two well-respected astronomers, only distantly connected as professional colleagues, who reported it. So the idea that they had been colluding in a hoax was stretched the imagination. Now, one sees a bridge, which later the other astronomer verifies. So ask yourself, what were they seeing? Was it some sort of temporary structure? Maybe our own secret space program did it. Or could those that want to keep everything suppressed remove images of the structures from all later photographs taken of that region? Certainly that's possible. Since all the photographs came from one source, and that source changes the photographs, similar to the face on Mars. Now we have another interesting little tidbit of information. Now this one is a little odd because it appears to have been a mistake on the part of NASA, and that these photos apparently weren't intended to be shown that I'm going to talk about. One interviewer, maybe accidentally or possibly on purpose, took photographs of pictures lying on a table during an interview with two of the researchers at the AMES facilities. These two researchers, Dr. Kim Manico and Anthony Calapretti. So again, the photographs lying on the table never meant to be seen by the public. Or at least not on the part of the researchers, because they don't appear anyplace else. It seemed to have been overlooked by the interviewees, so to speak. They just happened to be there, and everybody failed to notice. In the one photograph with the image of one of the researchers' arms resting on it, you can see a rectangular structure that by no stretch of the imagination can be called natural. Oddly, this is the same area of the moon that scientists deliberately allowed the mission-finished spacecraft Centaur to impact on the moon. Were we trying to bomb something? Ostensibly, this was just to raise a cloud of debris, which could then undergo spectroscopic analysis, primarily to search for water content, among other things. So was the purpose of the impact really something else entirely? Was it to obliterate evidence of the structure? Maybe an ancient alien ruin, perhaps. More of this sort of thing can be seen at the website that was put up. I'll be talking about later. Then there's the photo frame AS-15-87-11697. This was also taken on an Apollo mission, which shows a circular base on the moon, which has outlying structures, even some sort of spoke-like object radiating out from the central tower. The shadow of the tower at the center is in line with the shadows of all the craters in the photograph. And this is an official NASA photo and can be found displayed on their website. Now, let me talk about NASA photos. When I was doing my show out of California years and years and years ago, and I was interviewing Zachariah Sitchin and all the greats who have unfortunately left us, somebody came to my office, handed me some money and a reference number. He said, order this picture. It was from NASA. And the picture arrived. Very great detail. And it showed a track vehicle running across the surface of the moon. Well, our astronauts had some track vehicles. Interesting point was, this was not a location near to where the astronauts landed, and it was at a time when nobody had anybody on the moon. So who was running across the moon in a track vehicle? Having spent my formative years as a lieutenant in charge of a mech unit, I'm very familiar with APC tracks and the structure, shape, and design of most APCs. And I would say that the object I saw in that photograph bore a striking resemblance to an armored personnel carrier like we used in the Vietnam era. Now, NASA removed the high-resolution versions of this photo from their site. Now they've only got the lower-resolution one, but it's still clear. However, the original high-resolution photo can be found at a private website. It was posted before the high-resolution original was removed from NASA's own website. Now, the original photo, the lower-resolution one, can be found on a website to give us pertinent information regarding the photo and type of camera used and lunar longitude and latitude, so to speak. Now, Ken Johnston and his fellow researcher Richard C. Hoagland and made public several rather astonishing things. In Secret History of NASA, they claimed the first astronaut missions to visit the moon photographed what they thought were ruins on the surface of the moon. Subsequently, the photographs of those ruins and the structures were ordered to be destroyed by NASA. Order was given to the then manager of the Data and Photo Control Department, who was Mr. Johnston, who instead of doing so ordered information given out to non-NASA sources. September 2012, a noted astronomer released photos that on the surface of it seems to support the idea the moon may be hollow. He said, while filming the moon on September the 15th, 2012, with my telescope and Canon EOS 600D, I spotted 13 orbs, probably starting from a secret alien moon base. Now, this came from a noted astronomer. So, I think you can readily see when it comes to photographic evidence, there seems to be a lot of it. But how reliable are these photos? Well, in most cases, researchers who look into this material use NASA's own images, which can be found on their website. Now, they have hundreds of thousands of photos they've never released. Now, there are many more photos, some of which would never see the light of day because they reveal things the government does not want you to see. If some of the photos you look at from NASA seem fuzzy and indeterminate, that's because the only versions that are available are low-resolution ones. NASA, for some reasons, either blacked out the higher-resolution versions or taken them off there. Well, you can't get to them. Now, there's a number of very, very interesting photographs that have come from researchers. You know, for example, we've all heard about Buzz Aldrin, you know, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. Well, even though most people listen to the NASA feed, a lot of ham radio operators are listening to the unauthorized feed, where they talked about seeing spacecraft sitting on the rim of the crater. People have short-term memory loss. Unless something is impressed on you, especially when it is denied to be true by the powers that be, folks tend to forget. But that's not the case in actuality. I talked to one of those ham radio operators. Well, I never talked. I was an avid listener. And being in South America for so long, I got a very nice receiving set. And I listened to a lot of stuff. And I heard discussions. Some of those people, had we known who they were, would have gone to prison for treason. But when you checked out what they said, 9 times out of 10, it was true. Well, we've come to the end of tonight's show. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about evidence of aliens that came from astronauts. So until tomorrow at this time, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.